Welcome to the Deep Dive. We grab a stack of sources and pull out the most important, fascinating knowledge just for you. Today, we're diving into a feeling many of us know well. Putting in the hours studying, maybe feeling pretty good about it, but then hitting a test or a real-world situation and realizing you don't truly understand the material. It's like the information just evaporated the moment you needed it most.
It's such a common experience, and you know, our sources really dug into why this happens. We've got articles covering study habits, retention, plus a research study that looks specifically at how preparation impacts test anxiety and, well, performance.
Okay.
So we're here to help you understand not just the signs you might not be learning effectively, but the reasons behind it, and maybe most importantly, strategies based on evidence to make learning really stick.
Okay, let's unpack this. Where do we even start? How do you know if you're just sort of recognizing information versus truly understanding it? Our brains can be pretty sneaky about this, right?
Oh, absolutely. That's a crucial starting point. Recognition is just seeing something and thinking, yeah, okay, I've seen that before.
Right, familiar.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But true understanding means you can actually generate that information from your own mind and, you know, work with it. Think of it like recognizing someone's face in a crowd versus, well, knowing their name, their story, being able to describe them in detail later on. Big difference.
Got it. So what are those red flags then? The signs that tell you you're stuck in that recognition phase, not really understanding.
Okay, well, one of the biggest signs, according to our sources, is this. You can't explain the material out loud to someone else.
Ah, the classic teach it back test. Why is that one so powerful?
Because explaining forces you to organize your thoughts. Right. You have to use your own words, find the connections, bridge any gaps in your knowledge.
Makes sense.
If you can't summarize a concept or explain it clearly to someone who's unfamiliar with it, maybe a friend, family member, heck, even just talking to the wall, it probably reveals you don't have that firm grasp. You're likely just, you know, repeating words you memorize without the deep meaning.
Okay, which leads right into the next thing you mentioned. You constantly need your notes to answer questions.
Exactly. If you're studying, and every single time you try to answer a practice question or recall a fact, your hand just instinctively reaches for the notes.
Or Google.
Or Google, or the back of a flashcard. Yeah, that's a pretty clear sign. Your understanding is just superficial. You're relying on those external cues, not your own internal knowledge retrieval.
And this is where techniques like the Feynman technique or that blurting method come in.
Yeah.
They force you to try and recall without looking.
Precisely. The blurting method, for instance, it's super simple. You just write down everything you remember about a topic for a few minutes without any notes.
Okay.
Then you check your notes to see what you missed. It feels hard, definitely, but it immediately shows you exactly where the gaps are.
Right. And the third sign you mentioned feels, well, almost counterintuitive. You've memorized the information word for word. We're often taught to memorize definitions, right? But the sources suggest this can actually prevent true understanding.
That's absolutely right. Knowing, say, the exact definition of photosynthesis is one thing. But if you don't understand how the sunlight is used or what chemicals are actually involved or why it's essential for life on Earth, well, you just know the definition. You don't get the concept. And tests, they rarely just ask you to parrot back a definition. They want you to apply it, explain the process, compare it to something else maybe. Rote memorization just doesn't prepare you for that application part.
So it's kind of like the difference between knowing the recipe by heart and actually knowing how to cook the dish, troubleshoot if something goes wrong.
That's a perfect analogy. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know the sequence of steps.
Yeah.
Maybe. But you don't understand the function or the flexibility needed.
Okay. So we've seen the signs. Now, what are some of the common traps, the mistakes we fall into that lead to this kind of superficial learning? Our sources pointed out quite a few pitfalls.
Yeah, they did. And a major one is studying passively. This is basically anything that involves just consuming information without really interacting with it.
Like just reading the textbook over and over.
Exactly. Or highlighting practically everything, or just rewriting your notes word for word without changing them. It feels like studying. But your brain isn't actually doing much with the information. It's the total opposite of the active engagement you need for real understanding.
It's like being a passenger on a bus instead of the driver. You see the sights, sure, but you're not in control, not really learning the route.
Nicely put, yeah. Another big mistake, not learning from your errors.
Oh, this is a big one for me.
Right. So many people do practice questions, check the answer, see it's wrong, and just move on.
Yeah, oops, next.
Exactly. But the biggest learning happens when you stop and figure out why you got something wrong. Was it a concept you misunderstood? A simple calculation error? Did you just misread the question? Taking time to analyze those mistakes is absolute gold.
So you should probably, like, keep a list of those errors or something and revisit them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Keep an error log. If you don't fix the underlying reason for the mistake, you're probably just going to make the same one again later.
Okay. Makes sense. Another common one mentioned was focusing only on what you know.
Mm-hmm. It feels good, doesn't it? Reviewing familiar stuff boosts your confidence.
Totally. Feels productive.
But it's often a waste of precious study time. You really should be spending your energy on the areas where you're weakest, the stuff you find difficult.
And then there's the productivity killer we're probably all guilty of at some point. Multitasking.
Yeah. Trying to study while scrolling social media, answering texts, jumping between totally different subjects. Mm-hmm. Your brain just can't effectively encode and retain information when it's constantly switching focus like that. Dedicated, uninterrupted time, even if it's in shorter bursts, is way more effective.
Okay. This next mistake seems obvious, but I bet people skip it. Not doing practice exams.
Yeah, they do. Practice questions in a textbook are useful, sure, but full practice exams, they simulate the actual test environment.
The pressure, the timing.
Exactly. Time pressure, the need to apply knowledge across different topics all at once.
Sure.
Our sources actually recommend aiming for at least 2 full practice exams per subject.
2? Okay.
Yeah. It helps you get familiar with the format and really identify weaknesses under actual test conditions.
And then there's the age-old mistake, cramming, leaving it all to the last minute.
Ugh. Yeah. Trying to stuff weeks or months of material into your brain in just a few days, it's incredibly inefficient for long-term retention and actual application.
It feels awful, too.
It does. Starting early lets you use spaced repetition. Gives you time to clarify tricky concepts, really solidify the facts. Plus, it massively reduces that pretest stress.
Okay. And finally, something that feels basic but is apparently crucial, not asking for help.
Yeah, if you're stuck, really stuck, don't just spend hours banging your head against the wall alone.
Right.
Your teachers, your peers, TAs, even online forums, there are resources there to help you. Asking for clarification early on prevents misunderstandings from getting bigger and saves you so much time and frustration.
Plus, related to that, just neglecting your basic needs, right? Like sleep, healthy food, taking breaks. I know I've pulled all-nighters thinking I was being super productive.
We all have.
But it never felt like the learning actually stuck.
And it doesn't, because you need physical and mental energy to learn effectively. Breaks actually allow your brain time to process information and consolidate memories. Skipping sleep, eating junk food, not getting any exercise, those are seriously detrimental habits if you're trying to learn something properly.
Okay, so we know the signs we're maybe not understanding things deeply, and we know the common mistakes we're making. This is where it gets exciting, though. The sources offer some really powerful strategies to flip this around, right? To truly boost retention and deepen that understanding.
Yes, and the big overarching theme across all the effective strategies is active engagement. You absolutely have to do something with the information, not just passively look at it.
So what's a good starting point? Where do we begin?
Well, one core strategy is using multiple learning methods. Try to engage different senses, different parts of your brain.
How so?
Listen to lectures or podcasts, sure. But also watch videos, look at diagrams, talk about the material with others, take notes. But crucially, in your own words, draw concepts out visually. Hitting the material from different angles really helps reinforce it.
Okay. And that sign we talked about earlier, not being able to explain it, turns out that's also a powerful strategy in itself. Explain what you learned to someone else.
Yes, exactly. The Feynman technique in practice. When you try to explain a concept in simple terms, like you're teaching it, it immediately shows you where your understanding is fuzzy or where the gaps are. Then you go back to the source material, clarify it for yourself, and try explaining it again. It's this really powerful cycle of self-correction and reinforcement.
So it's not just a test of understanding. It's actually a method for achieving it.
Precisely. And kind of tied into that is connecting new learning to previous knowledge. Your brain doesn't learn things in isolation. It learns by building on what it already knows.
Right, making links.
Exactly. So when you encounter a new concept, actively think, okay, how does this relate to something I learned before? What is it similar to? How is it different? Don't just learn facts separately. Find the threads that connect them.
So asking why and how.
Yes. Ask why, how, what are the implications?
Mm-hmm.
Try describing concepts in your own words,
yeah.
Adding details, drawing connections between ideas. Use real-world examples whenever you can that makes abstract stuff much more concrete, like thinking about the cost-benefit analysis of buying a new phone or something. Just one caution, make sure your connections and examples are actually accurate. Don't build faulty links.
Good point. That real-world application idea brings up the next strategy nicely. Putting the skill into practice, or basically, learn by doing.
Yes. Applying what you learn, or practicing skills in realistic scenarios, engages multiple senses, even motor skills sometimes, and that builds much stronger neural connections.
So not just reading about it, but doing it.
Exactly. Whether it's actually solving the practice problems in physics, or conducting a lab experiment in chemistry, or even using simulated learning environments like, say, role-playing a language conversation in a virtual cafe.
Oh, cool.
Actively doing helps move that knowledge from just theory to actual application, and it really boosts your confidence too.
Okay, this next one feels a bit like homework, maybe, but our sources really emphasize it as one of the most effective. Test your retention, also known as retrieval practice.
Mm-hmm. And this isn't just about taking a test to see your grade. It's using testing as a study method. Actively trying to recall information from memory without looking at your notes or textbook.
Like flashcards.
Flashcards are a classic example, yeah.
Yeah.
But make sure you mix them up. Don't just go in order. Or after reading a chapter section, close the book and try to write down everything you remember. Use practice tests not just to gauge where you are, but as a way to study.
It always feels hard, though, when you struggle to recall something. But you're saying that difficulty is actually good.
It is. That feeling of struggle, that effort, that is the learning happening. It signals to your brain, hey, this information is important. I need to strengthen this connection. And it pinpoints exactly what you need to go back and review.
Got it.
Just remember to try recalling the main ideas. Isolate the definition.
Okay. Another interesting, maybe more creative strategy mentioned was dual coding.
Yeah, this one's cool. It's basically combining words with visuals.
Like diagrams.
Diagrams, flowcharts, timelines, concept maps, whatever works for the material. Create these visuals based on your notes. The act of creating them helps you process the information. And then having both the words and a visual representation gives your brain two different pathways, two ways to access and remember the material later.
So if you're studying, say, a biological process, instead of just writing notes, you could draw it out as a flowchart.
Exactly. Or use graphs and charts to represent data or relationships in economics.
Mm-hmm.
And a good way to test if your dual coding worked is to try recreating the visual from memory, or writing notes based only on the visual you created.
Hmm, interesting. Okay, and finally, a strategy to fight that feeling of just banging your head against the same topic over and over, interleaving.
Right. So instead of spending, say, 2 hours straight on just topic A, you switch between different concepts or different types of problems within a single study session, maybe topic A, then topic B, then a problem from topic A, then topic C.
Oh, mixing it up.
Exactly. And then maybe mix up the order again next time you study. Now, this often feels harder than just blocking out single topics.
Yeah.
Because your brain has to work harder each time to retrieve the right information or procedure for that specific problem type.
But that difficulty is good again.
Yes. It strengthens your overall understanding because it forces you to see the connections and the differences between ideas. It helps you really know the material, not just temporarily memorize a procedure for one type of problem.
So instead of doing like all your algebra problems first and then all your geometry problems, you'd actually mix them up within the same session.
That's the basic idea, yeah. Just maybe don't switch too frequently, like every 2 minutes. You need a little time to engage with these concepts before moving on.
Okay. Wow. All these strategies sound really powerful. They're all focused on that active engagement, making your brain really work with the material. But does this approach actually translate into real-world results? Does it really reduce that awful pre-test anxiety we talked about?
Well, that's where that research study we looked at comes in. It provides some pretty compelling evidence. It was what they call a quasi-experimental study done with public health students.
Yeah.
And they basically wanted to see if building regular, structured study preparation activities into a course would affect students' test anxiety and their actual academic performance.
Interesting. How did they set up this study preparation? What did it look like?
So they had an intervention group who participated regularly in specific class activities, all designed around active learning.
Like what kind of activities?
Things like quick refresher quizzes or reviews at the start of class, having students give short presentations on topics, doing end-of-session summaries together, and dedicating specific time for asking and answering questions.
Okay, so really interactive stuff.
Very. And importantly, these activities weren't just fluff. They actually counted for a significant portion of their grade, somewhere between 10 and 35%.
Ah, so they had skin in the game.
Exactly. And they compared this group to a control group who just followed the standard course format without these specific regular activities.
Right. And what did they find? Did it make a difference?
The results were quite telling, actually. So both groups started the semester with pretty similar levels of general stress. No big difference there.
Okay.
However, right before the final exam, the intervention group, the ones doing all those active preparation activities throughout the semester, reported significantly lower levels of test anxiety compared to the control group.
Wow. So the regular practice didn't just help them learn the material, it actually helped them feel calmer, less stressed going into the big exam.
It seems so. Exactly. And the impact wasn't just on their anxiety levels. Crucially, the intervention group's final exam scores were also significantly higher than the control group scores.
Now that's compelling evidence. It really suggests these active methods aren't just, you know, nice theories. Building them into your routine, your study habits, can genuinely reduce that stressful feeling and boost your actual performance.
It really shows that consistent engagement with the material spread out over time, especially using methods that require you to actively retrieve and apply information. Well, it pays off. It pays off in both deeper understanding and in your confidence when it matters most.
So the next time you sit down to study, maybe take a moment to check in with yourself. Are you just recognizing the information, or could you genuinely explain it to someone else right now?
Yeah. Are you hiding behind your notes constantly? Are you just memorizing words without grasping the meaning?
Be honest about the common mistakes you might be making, that passive reading, maybe skipping the analysis of your errors, trying to juggle too many things at once, or leaving it all to that last minute cram session.
Mm-hmm. And instead, consciously choose to engage actively. Try explaining concepts out loud, even if it's just to yourself. Use practice questions and tests to force yourself to recall information from memory.
Connect those new ideas to what you already know. Use those concrete real-world examples. Maybe try combining words and visuals with dual coding, and definitely mix up the topics you're studying with interleaving.
Because as that study strongly suggests, these strategies aren't just about chasing a better grade, though that often happens. They're really about truly owning the knowledge, understanding it deeply, and reducing that awful stress that comes from feeling unprepared.
So here's maybe something to consider as we wrap up. If just incorporating relatively simple active review and participation activities into a classroom setting can measurably lower anxiety and raise grades for a whole group of students, what could a consistent, dedicated effort to apply these active learning strategies mean for your own personal learning journey the next time you decide to dive deep into a new subject?